This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
According to industry stats, one in three vehicles sold in 2017 had the Perodua badge. Just look around you, and it's no surprise that Perodua has been Malaysia's best-selling automaker for over a decade. So what's it going to take to stay on top? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Perodua's CEO and President, Dato' Dr. Aminah Rashid Saleh. Good morning, Dato', and welcome
morning,
back.
Good morning, Han. Thanks for inviting me.
Over 5 years since you were last on The Breakfast Grill. What took you so long?
Unfortunate. Busy making cars.
All right. So let's start with a review of the year that was. How did 2017 pan out for Perodua?
Well, 2017 has been a challenging year, but also a year of opportunities. There were many, many challenges. Although GDP-wise, there was a growth in GDP. But there were other issues, some of the issues were carried forward issues. For example, getting financing, not forgetting we have competitors. Yeah. And there's also the issue of wait and see, things like that. But nevertheless, we have been blessed. We still got supporters. So I have to thank Malaysians for the continuous support that they're giving to us.
So Dato, you talk about these challenges and we'll get into them in just a bit. But, going back to, say, something that was mentioned by the Malaysian Automotive Association, talking about how there's this trend towards fuel-efficient and small engine capacity vehicles. One would think that that would just mean customers are just swarming your sales centres, right? Are you seeing that trend manifest itself significantly for Perodua yet?
Yes and no, meaning that, we've got four models in our lineup. We've got the Alza, we've got the Beza, Azia, and of course, the relatively newly launched Myvi, the new Myvi. When we launched the Azia about 2 years ago, overwhelming response. And when we introduced our first ever compact sedan, the Beza, there was also a good response. And similarly, when we launched Alza, although relatively Alza has been on the road, relatively longer compared to the others, but the demand is still there. So yes, there seems to be that trend, but is that a conclusion? I wouldn't say so. It's too early to conclude. Yeah, but there seems to be that demand.
Okay.
Customers, talks about quality, of course, Safety seems to be a major issue these days. Fuel efficiency, this EEV thing that's coming in. And we have been blessed. Three of our models are already certified EEV. Yeah, the Myvi, the Beza, and the Azia.
But ultimately, is Perodua's strongest point being its price point? Yeah, great that it has EEV, all these other features, but at the end of the day, they're just coming to you because it's a lot more affordable than, say, the imported cars.
I would like customers to choose us, or Malaysians to choose us, not just because of the affordability. Yes, price is a major factor in decision-making. But we would like Malaysians to look at us in totality, the whole package, the product design, the features that we put in, some of the technologies, particularly the new Myvi that we have brought into the market, our after-sales service, the brand itself. So it's not just about the affordability. Yeah, it does help, but we hope that people continue to support us and choose us because of other factors as well.
So since you mentioned it, we got to talk about the new Myvi. Can you give us an update here? How many bookings in 2017 and how many delivered?
Well, we are still cooking the numbers, but I have the figures maybe just before the closing of 2017. At that time, the booking has already reached about 28,000. And we have delivered close to 8,000 units since we opened for booking. But having said that, because of the back orders, we are now working overtime. We do apologize, especially to our customers who have booked the slightly higher variant, the 1.5 variant. We are working overtime. do it. We hope to be able to reduce the delivery period. But having said that, we do have the 1.3 available. So customers, if you want your vehicles faster, you know, the 1.3 new Myvi is also an option. Not forgetting, we have the three other models.
And now that's interesting that you pointed that out, because it's something that industry observers have mentioned as well. You've got people perhaps shying away from your 1.3 variant and choosing their 1.5. What does that tell you about, say, the level of disposable income among your customer base? What does that tell you about the appetite for that particular model?
Well, I have to admit that perhaps in terms of our planning, at this point, maybe it's still too early, but at this point, it is proving us wrong in a way. You know, we were hoping to get a 50-50 or perhaps 55-45 kind of ratio in terms of the 1.5 against the 1.3, coming back to the new Myvi. But as it stands now, it's almost 85 to 15. So it's a problem, it's a good problem, and that's why I apologize to our customers, to Malaysians out there. Just bear with us. We are trying to fulfill those requirements. Now, why does this happen? We have done some initial survey. Again, it's not conclusive. But at the end of the day, it's about value for money. Yeah, the features that we have brought in, some of the features are available in top high-end cars. And because we want to make it affordable, you know, the 1.5 Advanced, the highest version, we brought in what we call the advanced safety feature, you know, which is available in luxury vehicles, and we made that affordable.
But with more features for similar price points, what does that do for your profit margins, though?
Well, you know, we are here on a long haul. We are a volume player. Yeah, that's one. Number two, after sales is a very important part of the equation, and that is something that we have been emphasizing upon, you know, the last few years, and it's also part of that customer retention. And I believe this is very important part of that decision making for customers.
Hmm. Yeah. Do you see then perhaps some cannibalization of the demand for your Axia, right? Because with the 1.3, you're giving them more features at the lower price point. Could this eat into the demand for Axia, or is it pretty insulated there?
Well, when we were planning for this new Myvi, we have taken all those into consideration. I have to admit that, yeah, there will be some cannibalization. But at the end of the day, I mean, just like any auto players, you want a net-net growth, you know, net-net growth. It's still too early. We are seeing some, but not to the point in which it gives a red flag to us yet. Yeah, there are. And again, we are blessed because the Axia seems to have its own followers. You know, we still have 6,000 to 7,000 orders per month, even for the Axia. Yeah.
So will Axia remain your best-selling product then, or do you think the new Myvi will overtake it?
Well, it will be tough. As it stands, it's like, you know, 50-50 kind of thing. The younger brother might eventually become the winner, or the older brother, the new Myvi, may again become the winner. At this point, it's a bit tough. Almost the same.
Okay.
Almost the same.
All right. But is the Perodua brand pretty mature already in Malaysia? Because you have seen a gain in market share from below 30% to, I think, last year's figure, 2017, up to about 35%, right, of market share. Is there more upside there, or are you being forced to look abroad for more growth?
Well, you know, we if you look at the domestic market, we are about to reach maturity.
So 35%, that's pretty much as good as it gets?
35%, yeah. It's going to be tough going beyond that.
Dato, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Proton and the prospects of a resurgent Proton. I'm speaking to Dato Dr. Amina Rashid Saleh, CEO and President of Perodua.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Dato Dr. Amina Rashid Saleh, CEO and President of Perodua. Now, Dato, Are you worried about a resurgent Proton? Geely has come into the picture. They are very much focused on autonomous driving, electrification, connectivity. They've got all that tech transfer from Volvo on tap, right? So what does that do for your production plans?
I think, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Proton. You know, eventually they have found an FSP. We all know that they have been trying to find that partner.
FSP, Foreign Strategic Partner.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They have found, so congratulations to them. And I'm sure they have their own plans. We wish them the best. We definitely have our own plan. As some of you may know, we have just started what we call our Transformation 2.0. We completed our Transformation 1.0. There was like a 5-year roadmap. So we have just embarked into the Transformation 2.0, working very closely with our partner, Daihatsu. So in terms of technology and the rest, it's very much has to do with our partner. You know, we have to rely a lot on them. There's been discussions about what's going to come in the future. We take note of the trend. You know, you rightfully mentioned about autonomous, EV, hybrid and the rest. Those are things that we continue to discuss. I'm not able to provide details at this point, but those are things which we are very mindful of.
And one of the highly anticipated models out of them, perhaps in the second half of 2018, would be the BoYu SUV. And now over at Perdua, you had mentioned in 2017 that you are seriously considering an SUV. What's the update there?
Well, we have just launched the new MyV. The focus is on the new MyV. Having said that, the SUV remains on our radar chart. Yeah? We are still studying what's the trend, what's the market trend like. What are the consumer sentiments towards SUV? You know? So it's still too early. Let me say that it's still at an investigative stage.
It might be investigative for you, but broadly speaking, global sales have been driven by the SUVs. We see it especially in the States. Do you see Malaysian motorists having enough of an appetite for SUVs?
Well, the initial study seems to suggest that. But whether it's concrete, whether it's a conclusion, we have not reached that level yet. I'm saying that also because if you were to look at you know, what we achieved in 2017, you know, compact vehicles, hatchback, our Beza and the rest are still doing relatively well. Yeah? So, still too early, but we do know there seems to be that appetite. So, it's something that we are watching very closely.
Now, let's talk about your target demographic then, because it appears that you have moved up your price point. You've massaged it, let's just put it that way, right? And some point to the more stringent, higher purchase loan conditions, right? Yeah. Do you see that continuing?
Well, you know, a household debt issue is an issue. We have to admit that. Mm. We support the government's move. But having said that, we do hope that, you know, the banks will allow certain flexibility. That's point number one. Now, coming back to your question, we are seeing some shift. If I were to use, say, the new MyV, there seems to be less of what we call the FTBs, the first-time buyers. We are beginning to see more of the additional car buyers, replacement car buyers. And because of this, in terms of what we call the demographics of the customers, seems to be a little bit different. And we are hoping that with this, we are hoping that in a way, maybe not all, in a way we'll be able to mitigate some of those issues with regards to higher purchase.
So with fewer first-time buyers, FTBs as you call them, what are you reading into that? Is it because they don't have the kind of income levels that would get them approved, or they're just staying away from cars, they are choosing public transport instead? What are you reading into that?
We think it's a combine of factors. One, it could be disposable income. Secondly, it's because they have other alternatives. Yeah, but the good point, as I mentioned earlier, take-up rate is still okay if you look at our market share at 35%. But the shift seems to be more going up to the ACBs and the RCBs. Additional car buyers and replacement car buyers. Now, we recognize that, you know, public transportation is a challenge to us. You know, the emergence of, you know, Ubers, the Grabs and the likes are competitors in a way. But we would like to look at how we can be part of that rather than competing, how we can complement each other.
So how are you going to complement each other then? Because you would think that with Uber, with public transportation, it eats away at this notion of even privately owning a car.
Well, you know, for starters, we had an MOU with Grab. We are giving some, you know, some packages for those, for their drivers who decides to our vehicles. So rather than compete, we are now complementing them. Now, having said that, if we were to look at the LRTs and the MRTs, you know, you still need to get to the station. Yeah? Okay. So there is still a need for transportation. And we feel that this is where we can come into place.
And the last mile connectivity.
Connectivity. Mm. And you know, our vehicles are compact, you know, easy to drive, easy to park. So there are still pockets of opportunities.
Okay. So what's the update on your higher purchase loans approval for your customers?
Well, it has been a struggling point. Last year, from where it was before, it was at about 60%. Mm. You know, last year it went down to about 45, 46. But as I mentioned, when the new MyV launched, we see the percentage of the RCBs and ACBs moving up. So we are hoping to see a better conversion rate moving forward.
Does that mean moving forward, you know, you might have to adjust your price points even more to accommodate this changing trend whereby you're seeing less first-time buyers, you're now seeing more ACBs, etc.?
Well, you know, price is always an important factor. It is a decision-making factor. But having said that, we will still try to make it as affordable as possible. Cost is an issue. Cost is something that we need to manage. Cost is something that we have to work with, not just us internally, you know, with our suppliers, with our vendors, with our principals.
But as a bias, price point flat or up? What's the bias for Porodua right now?
You know, if you look at the models that we are offering so far, the four models, those are all below 60.
You like to keep it that way?
We believe that at this point in time, that seems to be that psychological line. That seems to be that psychological line. But having said that, you know, cost, some of the cost is something beyond our control, you know, materials and the rest. If it has to come to that, you know, we have to make certain decisions, we have to make certain adjustments.
You can't have an SUV priced below 60 now, can you? Right? So,
Well, SUV, as I've said, is still under the radar chart.
Okay. Dato, let's talk about the national automotive policy. Some lofty targets, you know. Here we are in 2018. By 2020, the national automotive policy aims to hit 1 million units of passenger vehicles in TIV. That's total industry volume. For 2016, 2017, we have struggled to break past 600,000. Can we get there? 1 million units?
Well, you know, I'm sure when the government came out with the figure, or MAI in this instance came out with those figures, it was based on certain assumptions, I'm sure, at that time. And fast forward, things has changed, and I'm sure they will probably relook at those numbers. It's going to be challenging, you know, meeting the figure that was mentioned.
Right, but even if we get there, 1 million TIV, can our existing road infrastructure handle that many new cars per year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other factor that has to be taken into consideration. And I suppose one of the reasons why, you know, the government is also investing on public transportation and the rest, there need to be that balance. You don't want to have too many cars on the road as well. At the same time, there's demand, you know, Moving forward, we believe that there will still be growth. Perhaps, we're talking about, 3 to 4% growth, kind of growth.
Per year?
Per year.
Mm. What about exports then? Because one of the key targets under the NAP is exports of 250,000 vehicles per year. Right now, you're only exporting 4,000 to 5,000, yeah, way off from the 250,000. So really, who else is going to fill in that gap? Is Perodua going to fill in that gap given the challenges when it comes to exporting the Perodua badge? Yeah.
Well, export is... let me begin this by saying that export is not an easy business. It's still something that we are learning. We want to bring ourselves more to global standards. Yeah? And hopefully there will be a launching pad for us to look slightly more into the export market. I have to admit, we have been predominantly more looking at the domestic market. We have been engaging with the government, sharing with them some of the challenges that we're going through, whether it is possible to meet those numbers. And I believe the government understands the situation that we are in. So apart from talking about CBU, we are now also talking about exporting parts and components. So that's the other area in which we believe perhaps the challenges are lesser compared to CBU. So that's an area that we are also looking at currently, seriously.
Let's end with this, Dato. What's your outlook for 2018 for Perodua specifically?
Well, we just launched the new MyV towards the end of 2017. I mentioned that there is still, we still owe our customers. There's still some backlog on that. So the focus is really, trying to minimize the waiting period. We're working overtime. It will be a full year in terms of sales for 2018. So that will be our main focus. And if we are able to do that 6,000 or 7,000, that will help. We are hoping to see some growth compared to 2017, perhaps 2 to 3%. Yeah? And not forgetting, we have the other three models.
What about your forecast for TIV for 2018?
Maybe
above 600,000,
3 to 4% growth possible. That's okay. Possible. Bear in mind that despite some of the challenges that I mentioned, the forecast, the estimate, not just by our government, by economists, they're looking at about 5.2% GDP. I mean, that's relatively good if you look, you compare against other countries in the region. Now, having said that, we all know that 2018 is election year. So probably until the election, there will still be some of this wait-and-see attitude. And hopefully, post-election, things will get better.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I've been speaking to Dato' Dr. Aminah Rashid Saleh, CEO and President of Perodua. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.